John Morlin here, Colorado Springs. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll begin to read at verse 8 down through verse 11. The second of the letters to the seven churches of Asia is written to Smyrna. Now, we've already noticed in our studies that the book of the Revelation, not a closed book, but a book intended for God's people to read and to study and to hold to, is a revelation of the Lord Jesus himself. And he is seen in the first chapter in his high priestly garment standing in the midst of his people. The Lord Jesus judging his people for whatever is not right in their lives, leading them on to know himself better, and longing to have our company and our fellowship. The Lord Jesus is seen in glory because he is glorified at the present time. And the rest of the book shows his glory, his acquired glory, when he comes back to take his place as judge of the nations and eventually as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, these seven churches, while there were seven actual churches, which you can locate on your map, give us the status of seven different groups of Christians. And the group with which you're associated could be in any of these seven stages. Also, it gives us a historical preview of the whole history of the church from the first century down to the return of the Lord. And Ephesus pictures the decline of the first century. They began so well. The Lord made every provision for them. When he went back to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit down. And he sent chosen men to give them the word of God, and the scriptures were put in their hands, but they left their first love. Now, in order to call them back to himself, the Lord allowed the difficulties and the sorrows that came in the second and the third centuries. But let's read the letter. Verse 8 of Revelation 2. And unto the angel, or the messenger, of the church in Smyrna, right. Now, while Smyrna is an actual city, the name comes from the name myrrh. And myrrh was a very fragrant spice which was used in embalming the dead. Our Lord Jesus was presented with gold and frankincense and myrrh at his birth. And undoubtedly, his body, which was laid away in sweet spices, was touched with the myrrh of burial. Now, myrrh gives out its sweet odor when it is crushed. And this tells us of suffering and pain and death. The word literally means bitter. To the church in Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. In each case, the Lord Jesus speaks of himself in a little different way. When writing to Ephesus, he said, "This saith he who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks," which showed him as the one in a place of authority, inspecting the state of his people. This one presents the Lord Jesus as one who is in perfect sympathy with these suffering Christians because he went through all of this and more. He was dead and is alive. And this must have been a great encouragement to them. And it ought to be a great encouragement to any suffering Christians who are listening to my voice just now. Remember that our blessed Lord was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And remember, too, that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. As our risen high priest, he is able to sympathize with us fully, completely, which no human being can do. He understands you, brother and sister, and he wants to help you. Now he says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." Notice that there are no rebukes in this letter to the people at Smyrna, only comfort. He says, "I know what you've been through. I understand. Poverty, yes," he says, "but thou art rich." In writing to the last of the seven churches, Laodicea, he told them, "You say that you're rich, but actually you're poor." To these people, he said, "You're poor, but actually you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Why shouldn't a person fear? Why shouldn't a person be disturbed by all of these things that come? Well, because the Lord points on ahead to blessings that are to follow. Don't be afraid of the process. Remember the goal. Don't be afraid of the difficulties. Remember the reward. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, numbers in Scripture all have significance, and the number 10 always is attached to trial or testing. This was a testing time. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, a crown of life is not eternal life. Don't confuse them at all. We who are believers already have eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He possesses it at the present time. The life of God in our spirits by the presence of the Holy Spirit is already our possession. But the crown has to do with rewards. Don't confuse rewards and gifts. God's salvation, eternal life, is a gift, and it is free. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But crowns are given as rewards. There are 5 of these promised in Scripture. The crown of life was given here to those who were martyrs for his name's sake. And how many in the history of the church have passed into the presence of the Lord by way of martyrdom. And this is still happening. Many of our dear brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are laying down their lives for the Lord Jesus now. Only us here in America are living the soft life. Let us pray for these who are passing through the sufferings and the death of martyrdom. And let us draw near to the Lord ourselves, so that in the event that this may come to us, we'll be ready to be faithful unto death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now the message is one of comfort. In all tribulation, comes from the Latin word, tribulin, which means a threshing instrument. And tribulation is just God's way of threshing out a little bit of the chaff from our spirits, from our lives. We ought to be thankful that God takes the time with us to eliminate some of these things that we will be ashamed of anyway in the coming day, and we ought to be glad to get rid of. When have you really learned God and His ways, brother and sister? Has it not been when trouble has come into your life? Then don't rebel against it. Put yourself submissively in His hands and accept it as from Him. And say, Lord, go right ahead and take the chaff out and make me pure wheat for the Lord's sake. Notice it was limited to 10 days. And this is wonderful to know. There's a limit to what Christians will be asked to suffer. There's an end to all this. The Lord is coming back. And if you're going through difficulty, either as an individual or as a company of the Lord's people, remember that the Lord has plans for your future, and this includes being glorified together with the Lord Jesus. Now, historically, Smyrna covers the 2nd and 3rd centuries, roughly. There were actually 10 persecutions. This says thou shalt have tribulation 10 days. Well, there were 10 distinct persecutions. The first was under Nero, who probably was the one who put both Paul and Peter to death. The last one was under Diocletian, and ended about the year 312 A.D., and the Christians of that time, their writings show, believed that this would be the last of the great persecutors, and so it proved to be. From Nero to Diocletian, then, covers the history of the church known as Smyrna. Now notice that he promises to those who overcome a great blessing. Remember again, 1 John 5 says that this is that which overcometh the world, even your faith. And all true believers are overcomers. If you don't believe God, you're going to be overcome. The time is coming when either sin in some terrible form here on this earth will overcome you, Or, eventually, death will overcome you, and the second death will overcome you. Satan will overcome you. There's no future for you if you reject the Lord Jesus. But for us who have trusted Him, we are overcomers, and we overcome by trusting Him. And overcomers are promised that they shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, the second death, we're told in Revelation 20, is the lake of fire. I do believe in eternal punishment for the simple reason that the Bible states it. I wouldn't know anything about eternal happiness. I wouldn't know anything about heaven if I didn't have a Bible. But the Bible tells me this is true. The Bible also tells me that there is the second death, the lake of fire, ahead of those who reject the Lord Jesus. Those who were born only once will die twice, the death of the body and the second death, which is the lake of fire. Those who are born twice, that is, born again, born from above, the new birth, salvation, will only die once and perhaps not even once, for the Lord Jesus is coming back to take us home to be with Himself. Am I talking to someone who has gone through a great deal of trial and suffering, and you wonder why? You wonder, have I done something terrible that the Lord is doing this? Why, there are seven different reasons in the New Testament for suffering, and correction is only one of them. In the case of these people at Smyrna, the Lord was not punishing them. He was simply drawing them close to Himself, and I trust this is what your suffering will do for you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for our Savior, who is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We thank Thee for what He went through for our sakes. Now we thank Thee that all who will may trust Him. We pray that Thou help us who have trusted Him to be living in expectation of that wonderful hope, His soon return. In His name, amen.